1979. My name is Sandra Schott, and I am interviewing Woodrow M. Sharp for the Castroville Public Library Oral History Collection. Dr. Sharp will be reminiscing on the subject of his lifetime career as a veterinarian in Medina County. Okay, now what do you want me to call? Shall I call you Mr. Sharp, Woodrow, or Doc? What does everybody call you?
Well, this is Jenna calling me Doc.
Just Doc, okay. Doc, when were you born?
April 11, 1915. Dora, Missouri.
Where?
Dora.
D-O-R-A. D-O-R-A, Missouri.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And part of the Ozarks.
Oh, and who were your parents?
W.F. Sharp and B. Sharp.
B. Sharp. Mm-hmm. B, they call her B.
B, but her real name was Hallie. And had four sisters, two older and two younger. And I wasn't spoiled either.
You weren't spoiled? You were the baby then?
No,
you were the middle one.
Middle one. Uh-huh.
The middle child is never spoiled.
No. They're the only boy.
And the only boy you were?
Yeah, only boy. Had two sisters.
And you still were?
Older and two younger.
Okay, so you had four sisters.
So we left the hills in 29 and moved to Oklahoma.
And why? Why did y'all decide? Dad changed jobs? Or?
No, it's farming.
Oh, just, he was a
just,
farmer.
It's just hard living, digging it out of the rocks in the hills.
In Missouri. What was your mother's maiden name?
Matthews.
Matthews.
Mm-hmm. My grandfather on my father's side was full-blood German. My grandmother Sharp was full-blood English. My mother's father, Matthews, was Irish. And her mother was Scotch. That makes me quarter German, quarter Scotch, quarter English, quarter Irish.
Oh, that's a Scotch.
Well, and then we moved to Oklahoma in the spring of 29, just before the Depression. And had a big farm and did pretty good. And then the next year, the Depression hit. And we sold all of our corn for $1 a bushel in the field, $1 and a nickel out of the crib. We sold it all because we needed it, and then we bought the same corn back the next spring from the same man for 20 cents a bushel.
To plant, huh?
Well, to use.
Oh, to use.
Mm-hmm. That's when the Depression hit.
Well, were you old enough then to help your dad on the farm?
Oh, sure. I had
to. How old were you?
I was 13. I had to lay out of school the first year to farm, and that put me a year behind. And so then I was the only one in the whole country that went to high school.
Oh.
Out in the country, the whole.
And what school?
Bartersville, Oklahoma.
Bartersville.
Yeah, Bartersville High. And I finished there in 34, and during the Depression, and then. After we laid the crops by, I caddied at a golf course and made $35, and that's what I started college with. Hitchhiked to college, Oklahoma A&M, which is now the University, Oklahoma University.
Well, what made you? And that's when did you decide to become a veterinarian? Then?
No. But then
you were just going to college.
So I worked my way through school there, and lived in a barn loft. Lived in the barn 3 years, and then barn loft 1 year, slept there.
Were
and
you back, by yourself, or did you have back, some other no, buddies?
No, everybody was
oh,
in the
everybody
same
was
boat.
In the same
boat.
And this was all during the Depression?
All during the Depression, and
my
and God. I got a job for $15 a month, and I made it through school.
On that?
But I'd stay home on holidays, and all the ditches were dug then around the campus by hand, so we'd get a job at 20 cents an hour. Digging ditches, and that's where I'd save up money for the
next semester
to buy books and tuition.
So, and you did that all by yourself? Your folks didn't help you pay
no,
for
no,
any
no.
of
they
it?
No, they couldn't.
They just
they,
didn't
they,
have
they,
it.
They
yeah.
didn't have it. And that it wasn't so bad because so many was in the same boat. So
yeah, kind of made it fun then.
Mm-hmm. Have a date on 75 cents or $1, $1.25. Just have a big date.
That would be a big date on 75
yeah,
cents.
Yeah, and then we could go to picture show, for 10 or 15 cents, get a big malt for a dime, and we lived out on the campus barn, so we generally get a taxi. You get a taxi for 20 cents, four or five of us, for a nickel apiece.
So nobody had a car, huh?
No, nobody. No such a thing. And so one time we didn't have any money at all, and we wanted to go to the picture show, and one of them suggested, he said, I know how it goes. He said, we walk to town, we save a nickel apiece. Then we go in the drugstore to order a malt, and we won't order it, and that'll save us dime. We'll have 15 cents, we'll go to the picture show. So
you had to figure out. And this was what age were you then? This was it about.
Well, I started there in 1934. Started Oklahoma State University in 1934, and finished in 1938. And then, but anyhow, in 1937, a bunch of us working around the barn. We were juniors, and of course, I guess the smartest anybody ever is when they're a junior in high school. That's the smartest age of all, and then probably junior in college. But anyhow, we were working, and we got talking about what? That we weren't going to sell ourselves for less than $300 to $350 a month with a college education and what we knew. Sending alone. And the next year, we got to be seniors, and then we began to wonder, now, what do we know?
Just what do you know?
Yeah, what do we know? And the closer to graduation, the dumber we felt. And some of those 37 students hadn't been placed because that was during the heart of the Depression. And a $150 job by that time was top.
Top.
But you could buy a good used car, you know, for $200, and you'd get board and room for $20 to $30 a month, you know.
So board. That was really pretty. That wasn't bad at all.
So anyhow, we graduated. And they wanted to make me the first herdsman they ever sent out of school, Oklahoma State. It was famous for its animal husbandry department. So they
sent me. A herdsman, now, what is a herdsman?
A herdsman that takes care of purebred herds at that time, show cattle. So they sent me, they wanted to send me to San Antonio, Texas, to a ranch, which is the old Montgomery Ranch, which is an old established Hereford establishment, which is now the Strauss Medina Hereford Ranch. And everybody said, don't go to San Antonio where those Mexicans are. Don't go down there. They'll kill you. Woody, don't you go down there, Woody. You never come back alive. Boy, if you do. But if you do. And finally they decided I was going to go. So he said, well, get you a big club and carry it around on your shoulder. That's all you can do. Get along. And anyhow, he said, well, the fellow that sent me down, he was famous for, he was internationally known as one of the great world judges of livestock. And he was internationally known for being able to train and handle young men. And he's a man of very, very few words. And I don't suppose I'd spoken 100 words to him all during that 4 years. He called me and before he sent me to San Antonio, he said, now, you're going down there and he'll pay your way. And if you don't like it, he'll pay your way back. He said, I want you to remember one thing, Woodrow. Opportunity worth more than salary. And that's something I've never forgotten.
Those words. And what was his name?
Dean Blizzard.
Blizzard.
He later became Dean. He was just Professor Blizzard at that time. Later he became Dean of Agriculture. One of the all-time great deans in agriculture.
And they would pick out so many that would go out in different places from
just try to place everybody that
graduated.
That graduated now in Hudmer, but the herdsmen, they never had put out any herdsmen.
I see. This herdsmen. Was a new
and
thing.
This was kind of a new thing. They wanted to start me because they thought I had a knack for livestock, which I think I have had. And I did real well as a herdsman. But anyhow, he sent me down. He said, they'll pay your way down, pay your way back if you don't like it. Just remember, opportunity worth more than salary. So I got on the train, and Mr. Montgomery met me. And on the way out to the ranch, he was talking about the hard times and whatnot. He ordered all for me $50 a month, room, board, and laundry. And I took it, and that's what I started.
And you said nothing less than $350
with what I knew, see. And all that next year, and that year.
And whereabouts was this place located?
And out here at just
Montgomery Ranch.
Yeah, Montgomery Ranch on the Montgomery Road, just out east of Casterville, about 10 miles by the Rio Vista there. And so the last year I was in college, I had borrowed $1,000 to send my baby sister to college.
Well, weren't you nice?
So then the next year, and I had some time to pay it back, so next year I sent her $30 of that $50 I made all year.
And you lived off of $20.
Well, I had nothing but a little shaving cream. And,
yeah, and your room and board was
little,
there.
A little shaving cream and a little toothpaste and a few clothes now and then. It didn't take many. I was single. So a bunch of us had shook hands that we were going to stick to whatever job we got for a year, regardless of what we had to go through with. So, and we weren't going to get married.
And you weren't going to, those were the rules.
For a year. So, I hadn't been there long, and Mrs. Montgomery and I wasn't getting along so well. So I figured, well, she's going to stay whether I do or not. So I found out she loved flattery. So I started flattering her about her shape and whatnot, and boy, she fell for it. And they had maids and chauffeurs and yard men, see? So from then on, boy, I was it. She furnished the Buick, and had the chauffeur to fill it up with gas, and I had anything I wanted.
You learned your most important lesson.
So, and that's where I met Faustine one night at a dance at Lacoste after that year.
After that first year.
Between Christmas and New Year's. And I had this, she always said it was a Buick that I was driving. It didn't belong to me. So we came to Casterville, and I never will forget to pass this old place. And I remember Ralph Hass, the one that got killed. And he's running the place.
And, where was that Hass place?
Well, here at the old Phillips Station, here by the bridge.
This one where the Conrad Station
yes,
is?
Yes,
the Phillips 66?
That's the old Hass Station. That's the old, they had a cafe and a swimming, had a big swimming deal down under the bridge. You know?
There.
Oh, yeah.
That was the big place
see,
to go.
See, Ralph was the first one, the little fellow, and he got killed in the war, and then Howard died here just a couple of 3 years ago. And their daddy's still living down here on
and
the road.
And that originally was theirs.
Oh,
then.
Yes,
I
that
see.
Was the old Hass place. But anyhow, and then we had our first date.
You met her there at a dance.
Yeah,
at Lacoste.
At Lacoste. And then we had a date.
And you went to the Hass.
Well,
what attracted
and
you
was,
to her? How come you didn't go? There were lots of girls there, I'm sure. You know, there's always some little thing that, you know.
I was just introduced, and Marvin Pranger did introduce us. They were wanting to get us together.
Oh.
And from then on, I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a chance. Because I know after going together a month or two, I said, no, the last thing in the world I want to do is get married. She said, me too. And I was gone 3 months during that time on a show circuit out west. When I got back, she left and went to New York and Canada for a month. And we still got married within 6 months after we married.
After it met. All of that went on and you still got married within 6 months. Well, who decided to get married? Together, y'all decided this, or what made you even want to? Was that still during the Depression?
No,
that was after.
Well, it was just right after the Depression. I was still making $50 a month, and they'd raised me to $75 by that time. And then when I got married, they furnished us a house, and the milk and utilities, and $125
on this ranch. Then you lived on the ranch.
Yeah, $125.
And then what year did you get married? What was that date?
1940.
Mm-hmm. And did y'all get married in Lacoste or?
No, the old German priest there wouldn't stand for it. He wouldn't stand for one of his parishioners marrying an outlaw Okie and a non-Catholic.
And a
non-Catholic and whatnot. So Mr. Costillas says, Mr. Costillas was very broad-minded. He said, all right, that's enough. So these went to San Antonio.
Oh.
And went to San Antonio, and they got Father Collins. So we had Father Collins. he was a young Irish priest. So, I'd always heard so darn much about these Longhorn Catholics and all that. I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know anything
about Catholics, period, probably.
Period, because I didn't know anything existed other than a Baptist as long as I lived in Missouri. Nothing. There wasn't no other religion, and I wasn't even that, because I was too stubborn, because they'd try to force me in.
Uh-huh.
And I was just
stubborn. Yeah, the Baptists are pretty strong-headed. And
the Montgomerys were very much interested. I was living with them.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to go to instructions. So we went one summer, and we go twice a week, and it's about 40 people, about half Catholic, about half non-Catholic, about half women, about half men. And every morning at the breakfast table, boy, they say, "What did you learn?" You know,
the Montgomery.
So then they wanted questions. You know, they had questions, so I'd go back the next time, take their questions. The next morning at breakfast, why, I'd give them the answers, see. And darn near converted them at the time, you know. But anyhow, he always called me Montgomery Ward, because I was on the Montgomery Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And we'd gone about half of the summer. We went in there one night, and he said, "Well, Montgomery Ward," he said, "I'm going to talk about cursing tonight, so this doesn't pertain to you, because all livestockmen are exempted. So you just go down the street and get you two or three beer."
And he said,
"I'll talk to these others about the evil of cursing." And everybody looked kind of funny, and he said, "The reason I tell you this is that I hadn't been a priest but two or three years, and I got a chance to go back to Ireland, home, to visit." And said, "I was sitting in the kitchen door one day talking to Ma, and she was cooking, and my brother was outside plowing. And said, all of a sudden, I heard him start cursing just like a sailor. And said, boy, I jumped up out of my chair, and I went out there, and I gave him a lecture how sinful and impolite that was. And he said, I wish this damned old mare would step on your foot sometime." Said, sure enough, he went out there in two or three days to plow, and went to turn the corner, and she stepped out of the trace, and he stepped on the trace for her to step back in, instead of stepping back in, right down on his foot. He said, believe you me, my brother couldn't hold a light to me. He said, it's not what you say, it's what you mean.
It's what you mean.
And he said, no livestockmen mean it. It's just an old bad habit.
It's just a habit.
He said, because the Lord never hears them, so you just go on down and have you two or three beer, and I'll give them the devil about it.
Give them the talk about it. Oh.
And that reminds me of so many clients that I've had. And you know you yourself, particularly women, that they just don't care what they say. They don't realize what
they're saying. That's
but the true. Lord has never heard a word of it, because absolutely didn't mean it. They'll say anything.
That is really true.
They'll say anything. And I know a few of them that'll say anything and curse every other word.
And they don't realize
honest,
it all.
Honest, good. Sweet,
yeah.
Work, earn their living by the sweat of their brow, never beat anybody out of anything, never lied to anybody in their life.
Yeah, I don't worry too much about cursing.
No, but that I've thought of that many a time.
How true it was.
So,
well, then you took instructions.
So then I see in the island, and then the war came on.
Uh-huh.
After we got
you
married.
You were married first, and then the war.
And then we had Philip, and in 41, and then 42, the war had broken out, and I had a reserve commission. So I thought, well, now, if I could run up to A&M and enroll at A&M and veterinary school with a reserve commission, that I have a chance to get in with the commission.
Uh-huh.
So I got into vet school. Mitch Montgomery got me in, and wasn't in long till had to go take a physical for the service. So I went with one fellow that was one-eyed, another one that had varicose veins and spots on his lung, and another one that had a bad knee. He couldn't stoop over. When he did, he couldn't get up. And they said, and I said, well, I'll be the only darn one that'll get by. And we went, and we all went together, and I was the only reject out of the whole bunch.
You're kidding.
I was the only reject. They turned me down for active TB and scared the life out of me. So I got the x-rays, and I came back to San Antonio to the famous old TB specialist, Dr. Hodgkins, I believe his name.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at it one time and says, that's not TB. He said, have you ever had pneumonia? I said, yeah, I like to die with it twice. He said, oh, that's all that is.
The scar tissue.
He said, he's probably some young doctor didn't know what he's doing, and at your age, they didn't want to take a chance.
Well, can you be?
But getting back to that, though, so every year I go take x-ray when x-ray comes around. Every year they say, go see your doctor. Well, of course, the doctors, Williamson and Eckert, they knew all about it. But they'd look at it and watch to see how the scars are doing. So here about 3 years ago, there was nobody here at that time. And they said, told Paul's team to go see her doctor too, told me. So we went to this famous old Dr. Neal in San Antonio. So he looked at the x-rays, and called Faustine in, talked to her, and then called me in and said, where are you born? I said, Missouri, Ozarks, Mississippi Delta. I said, no, not Mississippi Delta. I said, Ozarks, Mississippi Delta. I said, hell no. I said, it's Ozarks, Mississippi Delta. I said, all right. He said, spots on your lung, histoplasmosis. I said, histoplasmosis? I never heard of such a damn thing. So I said, I had pneumonia twice, bad. No, they just thought you did. I said, you mean the doctors didn't know it? No, they didn't know any different then. You had histoplasmosis. Every time you had the flu, you didn't have the flu. You had an attack of histoplasmosis. So Philip, the oldest boy, being he is an MD, I thought I'd ask him, he just gave me hell, so.
Yeah.
So I called his classmate that's in San Antonio, that's a specialist too, And I called him and asked him what histoplasmosis was. He said, oh, well, it's just the same thing all you damn hillbillies has got. He said, all you damn hillbillies got it.
What?
He said, it's a fungus. You get it from chickens.
You are kidding.
So, of course, I was the only boy at home. My mother was in chicken business, so I had to clean all the chicken coops. And you hear it known as bat fever, You hear it. And there was a boy came up from Laredo here 2 or 3 years ago that was so bad with it.
I've heard of that.
And he got it from bats. It's a fungus. And then back east, when they had so many blackbirds here, saw it on TV.
Yeah.
Well, they just, those birds just spread that.
Okay, we'll go on back to.
So, this young doctor, Philip's classmate, told me about what it was. And later on, I asked Philip about it. And he said, hell, I could have told you a long time ago what it was, but you wouldn't have believed me. So,
never heard of such a thing.
I never either. But anyhow.
And apparently, you must have had it when you were a kid.
But anyhow, I didn't get in the service, so I went ahead and finished it in their school. I was always interested in it anyhow.
And that was at Texas A&M?
At Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a speed up program during that. I finished 4 years and 2 years and 8 months. Continuous.
Oh my gosh, never stopped.
So,
and you worked at the same time because you had a family?
Yeah,
then.
I had to work. Oh, yes. See, I had assistant graduate ship. Because I had a degree from Oklahoma State University.
I
taught animal husbandry in the animal husbandry department up there, and then later on got to work in the clinic, making $60 a month, which is pretty good. But anyhow.
And did Faustina and Philip go with you up there?
Well, yeah. And then, Pat was born the next year in 43 after we were there. So anyhow, while I was at the Montgomery Ranch, I used to. An old Canadian veterinarian that had retired, came down and retired near the ranch on the McDonough Road. And he always talked about what such a great place this would be for somebody to start practice. So, and that's the reason I came back.
There was no veterinarian.
No, there was no veterinarian. And with that, we finished up with only $1,500 in debt.
And that was a lot of money then.
We started out with an old car, old 36 Chevrolet, with no spare. I practiced for the first 2 months without a spare. And I'd make a call and stop at the grocery store and buy groceries. Make with a whatever, call and stop.
Get
yeah.
some more. And this was back when you came to Castro.
Yeah, that was in 45.
In 45.
And my first customer was Ernest Hussler on June the 1st, 1945.
She just told me that in there. She said, I told her you were coming over, you know, uh-huh. And she said that he was your first.
He has tried and tried to find that check, but they had to move the house. Or they built a new home, and in the moving, they must have lost it.
Oh.
If he gave me a check.
Yeah,
but I never will
true.
Forget the. It was a downer cow, and I didn't know. I gave her everything I had in the old car. And miraculously, she got up. And of course, and then they had a big family reunion the next Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they spread the gospel about how good I was.
Doc
you know?
Sharp is.
I didn't know what it was, but I gave her everything I had in the
book
everything I had in that old car.
Well, now you were set up where? At your home where you live
yes,
now?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it was out the highway for 6 months, and then we moved in here January 12, 1946 in Castroville, and practiced out of there for 17 years just out of the house.
Out of the house there. And you had a phone, and people could just
phone.
Call you up. And
Faustine answered the phone with.
She was your secretary, huh?
With the dirty kids and everything else.
Running
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. It was not until 62 that I built the clinic.
Oh, the new building.
And then I sold it out in the end of 76.
Well, tell me some more about some of the other customers now. I'm sure you had some interesting calls.
Oh,
did you get
yeah.
called at night, late at nights? And,
oh,
or
yes,
Sundays
yes,
and holidays?
Yes,
and,
yes. I'll tell you when... the night and Sundays when generally you'd answer the phone and said, wait till you put in so much money. And you'd hear them drop some money into the phone, and you knew then it was
emergency.
Down Lytle and Patty or Divine
see.
Way.
Because it was long distance then.
Well, it was, and that's just one place you didn't want to go, down in on the irrigation district and Lytle, and particularly in Natalia.
You didn't want to go that direction? Why?
No,
what? It was just
on account of the bad pay.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I
on account
see.
Of the bad pay. Because
they got paid, huh?
Well, they drifted in and out of the irrigation district at that time like ducks. Because you'd drive along and so many roads down there, and you'd want to be hunting some road, and you'd stop and ask somebody working. And says, don't know. Couldn't tell you, buddy. Couldn't tell you. Ain't been here but a year. Ain't been here but 6 months. Says, I don't know too many people. Might stop down yonder and ask about our fella. Said he might know. I think he's been here a little longer than I have.
And you said that was the irrigation?
The irrigation district.
District.
So it was.
That's what it was called?
Oh, it was the biggest farce that ever was at one time. It's straightened out. It's pretty good now.
Yeah. Well, who was the veterinarian around here before?
There wasn't anybody. I was
nobody would call anybody then when something was.
No, I had. Of course, one of the interesting things, I was called in 1948. It was. I'm not supposed to mention names, I don't think. Huh?
Yeah.
But I was called up Sam Habeas. That's Coley and Choppy and Daddy.
Oh.
And the cattle were starving to death, and they were thin, and some of them were dying. And so I told him, Archie Jaggy went with me, I never will forget. But anyhow, he told everybody that I told them that they had hollygut. Now, I don't remember whether I did or not, but I probably did, or he wouldn't have said it. But anyhow, they went down to Rio Medina, and they said, God damn, we've got a new disease. I said, what is? Well, our cattle are dying. He called off the sharp, and he said, they got hollygut. Nobody had ever heard of it. So I told him, I said, don't call me back. I said, the only thing you can do is just feed these cattle more. They were burning pear, but burning about 1/20 enough. So about that time, old Sam got sick and died. And Choppy had just got back from the service and married this Kentucky girl. And so, and old Sam died. And anyhow, old Coley, the other drunkard, was in the barbershop right after that. And Howard Shearhart asked him, said, "Well, how you doing, Coley?" He said, "Well, God darn," he said, "Paul called Dr. Sharp up there before he died. He killed the cattle. And then Paul got sick, and he called Dr. Williamson. He killed my Paul." And he says, "And Choppy's wife's in the hospital having a baby." He said, "Outside of that, I guess I'm all right."